It was the afternoon of May 6th. There was a fire at York Memorial Collegiate Institute in Toronto. The fire department was called out, and it thought it had doused that fire until early the next morning. Firefighters were called back due to heavy smoke and flames. Millions of dollars in damages caused. The school still hasn't reopened. Now, a report from the fire marshal did not lay blame, but it did clarify it was the same fire. It was never fully extinguished. Still no comment from the fire department about all this, which is odd. We wondered, could it be sued? Could it be on the hook for damages? We spoke with some lawyers today who say, yeah, it could be sued, but it's unlikely the school board would launch a lawsuit. First off, any damages that might be awarded would still come from taxpayers. It's pretty much the same pot. Also, if firefighters made a mistake, it doesn't necessarily mean they were negligent. The TDSB would have to prove the department deviated from its standards, failed to meet them when it comes to fighting a fire. That crews obviously did not know the fire was still burning, otherwise they would have put it out. Plus, no firefighters going to cooperate on the stand, defending their own instead, and they make for horrible witnesses. But it even takes you to insurance. I'm going to guess that when it comes down to it, the school board has insurance for a fire. The insurance company, you're now saying, we need millions of dollars to repair this school. You're on the hook for that. And as an insurance company, what would you say? You would say, well, you were there already and you didn't properly extinguish it. Why are we paying for your error?
Yeah, a lawsuit seems somewhat cannibalistic to me because we're talking about the same pot of money, right? I mean, if it's
but
a fire
department.
But does
it to the insurance company?
No, that's a good point. To the insurance company, there's probably a stark difference where they have to make some sort of judgment. I'm curious, though, what is the protocol? I've never fought a fire. I've often wanted to do a ride-along in a fire truck, just but, you know, you think about it, and what's the procedure to make sure a fire is properly extinguished? Because if you see these people, and I remember the night, I mean, these people worked hours and hours and hours to try to get that fire contained. There must be some sort of walkthrough procedure where you say, no, this is all out. We're good now. Nobody needs to monitor this, and you can all go home.
Yeah, and there's never been a situation where a firefighter says, oh, it's still burning over there. Whatever, let's go home. I got some beer on ice.
Yeah, we're not talking about the negligent division. We're talking about the firefighters who do a damn good job at their trade when they're called upon.
But they're almost like doctors, really, when you are a surgeon, right? You don't get to make mistakes when you're a surgeon. Just I know they do, and that's what malpractice and whatnot you hear about, but you really don't. And firefighters are the same. They have to be infallible. This is a situation where they were fallible, and we saw millions of dollars in damages. The odd thing is they're still not talking, too. We still don't have that statement to say, well, we messed up, and we'll do better.
Yeah, because I'm curious about the how. Like, how did that mess up happen? What are the boxes that need to be ticked when you're a firefighter leaving the scene?
Do they need to change how they approach a scene such as that? Because it's now been demonstrated that it continued to burn somewhere within the walls or the roof.
Yeah.
Or
do you need an extra crew standing around at the end of it for the next 6 hours,
yeah,
right? That just on guard as a standby. Because, I mean, quite honestly, as much as I love the work they do, and we, you know, if you ever need them, you're glad they're there. They also have a lot of time on their hands when they're not there.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be pejorative towards them, but that's the truth.
They all have second jobs.
No, they didn't. I didn't say they were building decks. I just said they have some extra time.
That's where you go immediately. Building decks.
Maybe there's a way to facilitate an extra shift that people can stand by for.
Certainly at a structure such as that.
Yeah.
And
yes,
thankfully,
exactly.
Thankfully, this is, you know, when's the last time you had this exact same story, right?
Yeah, this is the first. It really is.
So there you go. I guess they're doing pretty damn good.
They really are. And as I said, it's you feel bad because they have to. As I said, like a surgeon, you really don't get to make mistakes in these scenarios.
Gropey doctor? Yeah, you get to make a mistake.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That's way too common, apparently. You get second, third, fourth chance. This is an interesting story. Getting a lot of reaction to this today.
Yeah, this summer we saw a seven-month-old baby girl left alone in a hot car in Oshawa, a one-year-old child screaming alone inside a parked car outside a pharmacy in Richmond Hill. Of course, that 16-month-old child who died after being left for hours in a hot vehicle in B.C., 20 automakers. This is 98% of new vehicles sold in North America have agreed to install electric reminders. We'll call them, you know, chimes, warning chimes, in an effort to stop heat stroke deaths. Now, this will be in place for the model year of 2025. Vehicles will give drivers audible and visual alerts to, well, turn around, check the back seat. That's every time you turn off the ignition. The Ontario Safety League says it'll help during the winter months as well.
We lose kids every year to heat and cold. And so when they're built into the vehicle as an original equipment manufacturer item, they are well tested they do their job, and we're going to see the improvements that come with it.
In the U.S. this year, 37 children have died. That's after being left behind. 53 last year. It's a voluntary agreement, which is actually a good thing to install these alerts, because otherwise, if the government tried to force them, it takes 4 to 8 years to get that through. And what are we looking at? I mean, heck, we're still looking at 2025, so we're looking
6 years away.
6 years, let's say five if it's the model year, right, the next model year. So it's not moving that quickly. But only Tesla, which stands out, did not agree to these reminders.
And you'd think that they're so open-minded and in touch with people that that would have been the first company to put their hand
up. Yeah, he seems to be that kind of guy, world-aware sort of thing. But apparently, I don't know, maybe it doesn't work with their
If you're driving a Tesla, your nanny has the baby in another vehicle, so it's not needed.
It's a good point.
It's true.
When you look at this, though, do you think it's worthwhile to put in? Do you think it's going to make a difference?
I mean, there's so many chiming things in your car now, but we do see this every summer. You just about guarantee you're going to get a child's going to die somewhere within the region. I mean, we avoided it this year, but I've seen it many times. And what does it really harm at the end of the day?
Well, I was going to ask, are people who don't have kids going to be extra annoyed that they've got to hear another sound or something else going off? Because I can hear that being the initial complaint to the car company.
And do you lump them into the same people that are annoyed by Amber Alerts?
Yeah.
The ones that call 911? Yeah, probably.
You're probably right. How did the listeners respond?
We've got a few people that are saying, listen, it's got to be the onus of the parent. I don't understand why technology is taking over this from the parent when that's your responsibility. That's the thing you need to be concentrating on the most.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. The ones I've seen, it's usually a change in routine that gets them. They dropped off the wife instead of the child at daycare. Hmm. And of course, he didn't think to turn around. He never turns around and checks the back seat when he stops at the subway station. Yeah. That's usually what at the end of the day. But then you still have those idiots, as I read to you, with the one where the mother left the baby in the car while she played with the kids in the park nearby, that do this of free will. Mm-hmm. So the chime will mean nothing to those individuals.
Well, one person writes in, why install a chiming device? Heck, install a body taser. Just get it. You get tased. If you leave your car, kids in the car. Oh, jeez. That'll learn you. Yeah, that'll learn you.
Get you again. Oh, the kid's still there.
Another person says, electric reminder to check for your kid. Call it chimes. Right. Okay. It should have a voice that says, hey, stupid, check for your kids.
Yeah.
But which is what everybody says until it happens to a loved one.
Yeah, exactly.
And
right.
They swear that that's the last thing in the world that they ever wanted to happen, and they were just distracted for just 1 second. Because it happens. Have a little sympathy.
I mean, you must have been there as well. It's somebody in the newsroom said it happened to them once. They didn't leave the kid in, but there was that split second because the routine had been changed. Mm-hmm. They oh, my God, the kid's in the back, and they had completely forgotten.
I'd also ask the question, and not to demean or to diminish the kids that are left in hot cars, but if the auto sector can do this, why can't they get some sort of breathalyzer thing to make it so that people aren't wasted when they're driving? Just putting that out there.
Well, you know, maybe
we're got all sorts of new technology to solve this problem.
To be fair, it dings. It's a little different than it's not exactly
okay,
new
but it's
technology.
Not like drinking and driving is a new issue. They've had decades. Figure it out.
I don't want with air detection inside the cabin.
That's what I was just going to say.
That picks up on alcohol.
Are we really that far away where it detects that there's a body in the back of the car, meaning a living human being in the back of the car, and says, oh, well, turn on the AC. It's hot outside. The temperature outside is 28 degrees. We detect a presence of a human in the back. Meh.
I think it should be your voice. Really.
I'll do it.
It'd be great. As
long as he has the noise at the end of it. Do you have someone in the back of your car? Meh.
Let's talk a little bit about the mayor reacting today.
Yeah, he calls it. It's a big concern. Says it makes him angry. You wouldn't like Mayor Tory when he's angry. He's reacting to News Talk 1010. It's our exclusive story. You heard it this morning, how it took one of our hosts just 5 hours, called around, bought a gun illegally. It's from the idea of, I was trying to buy a gun. Oh, we bought a gun. Bought it out of the back of an SUV in a shopping plaza parking lot in the GTA.
But I think if people feel that they can do this, that's what they'll do. They'll do it in the parking lot of a shopping mall, and I'm extremely unhappy about that. But I think that we have to continue to do more, as we're trying to do, mainly through the police, but also through citizen cooperation, to have these people understand they're going to get caught and they're going to face serious penalties.
Tory says funding has been devoted to tracking down and, of course, arresting these gun dealers. So they're on this, so to speak. This is they're trying to track these guys down, but often it's just who you know. If you know the right type of person, they have guns for sale. I don't know any of these people.
No. Good for you. I would look at this and I looked at people's surprise when it came to the Walmart parking lot. I was like, really? You're surprised by that? Does everybody assume that gun deals are going down in shady back alleys and in like industrial plazas? Because that's not the reality of the world.
Yeah. Everybody knows that happens in bad motels with two single beds, and they lay the suitcase out on one bed, and they open the door, and it's usually dusk, and they always look behind the person that's at the door, and then they wave them in quickly.
That's right.
Exactly how it goes.
Nobody says hello. There's no pleasantries.
I would be stunned if it was the opposite. I think that this is exactly the way these gun deals work. You know, plazas, busy areas, places you can see for cops. They're not going to do it in the most obvious area that we're, you know, oh, I'm going to meet you at 3 a.m. in an industrial area out in Malton. Okay, well, you're going to be bit by the cops pretty quick.
Yeah, how often do they just call them up and say, come to my house? The door's open. Come on in. I'm in the basement playing Madden, and I want to buy a gun.
And again, it's how well you know the person. And if you've got somebody that can vouch for you, typically that's the way these type of things work. You know, there's a trust issue here. I'm surprised that, you know, somebody agreed to meet one of our hosts in the middle of a parking lot, but I don't know who that individual knows. They probably won't again. No. Yeah, you get one chance on that, I'm thinking.
It's the only gun you're not buying.
Do you really want to piss off the gun guy?
Yeah, it's just like, well, you know, I put it all over the news. You're selling
me guns over here. Is that bad? You know, and I can roll in this next story real quick, but
yeah,
we have an update.
Take your time, Dave. Well, this is your space. You should feel safe in it.
Should feel safe. Toronto police, meantime, they have made an arrest in connection with another shooting. Now, this one happened around the middle of that last month. So it was a Sunday afternoon, 19-year-old woman leaving a residential high-rise, Islington and Dixon neighborhood. She's confronted by a guy in a mask. He's holding a semi-automatic handgun. So unprovoked, he shoots her. He fires a bullet into her abdomen and her foot as well. She's rushed to the hospital, of course, serious injuries, but she survived. Police say with help from community members, so there's something that stands out, right? We always talk about chime in, you know, help us out. They need tips. And with help from community members, he has been identified. It's a 22-year-old guy, faces 16 charges, one count of attempted murder. We contacted police because we wanted to know, was this random? Because they only use unprovoked. It sounds like it was unprovoked, not so much random. So what was the situation that warrants shooting a 19-year-old in the gut? Who knows?
And wearing a mask while you're doing
it. Yeah, what would be the mask aspect? Because if he knew the individual, does she think she knows that person? Was it some sort of retribution? Why the mask? But unprovoked, that's what they're calling it.
And this is in the middle of the afternoon, too.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. It's in, what, Dixie and Islington?
Yep.
Yeah, Rexdale. Yep. Okay. Rexdale area. Esk?
Esk.
Esk. That's what
esk.
I was going for.
I go with Esk.
Yeah, Esk. All right, we got more to come as Dave McKee continues with his views on the news, including a really interesting story about buses and back to school. We'll tell you about that in 60 seconds as the rush continues.
I'm just looking ahead.
What?
Oh, yeah, okay. I just want to make sure we're talking about stickers. We got to keep the streak alive.
It's a big sticker day on the show.
Big old sticker day.
Ryan and Jay here on The Rush. Dave McKee is here. Let's try to not have too much of a good time. It's the Views on the News with Dave McKee.
Apologies.
It's okay. What's this story about busing?
Well, it's the first week back to school, so is Toronto. We got to check in on this. As frustrated as they are when we check in every year, is Toronto seeing busing issues as it has in the past? Well, the Toronto Student Transportation Group says yes.
We are experiencing some additional delays, obviously, because of the shortage of drivers this year, with stock transportation.
But, and like my former years when I was 300 pounds, it's a big but. This time of year, there are always...
And you cannot lie.
I cannot lie. This time of year, there are always school bus delays, given how hectic the start of the year is. Drivers, they're learning routes. How did they not know them already? Students being shuffled between routes. Now, 15 routes were impacted yesterday. It's already been reduced to a handful. Group says there are always driver resignations this time of year, and this one's no different. So that's causing a few extra delays as well. And you can just imagine these drivers, you know, they do the first day and say, I ain't doing this anymore.
Sure. And that goes right back to the clip where I think he nailed it in the first few words, you know, the shortage of drivers. There's something that clearly hasn't been addressed from last year to this year.
Because it takes money to address it.
There you go.
Pay these people properly. Pay them for an 8-hour shift. If they have to sit around throughout the course of the day, that's a you problem, not a them problem.
Ryan,
no, seriously,
Ryan.
I have a lot of sympathy for bus drivers. I think that they should be paid a fair wage.
Please, we need Wi-Fi.
Yeah, right.
That's what we need in transit. Free Wi-Fi.
But seriously, that's part of the problem here. You're talking about shipping your kids around on busy roads during the school day. Don't you want the best people for that? No one would say, oh, cut back on what we pay pilots. We should probably pay them next to nothing. But when it's a bus driver, it's like, yeah, whoever. Who do we have? Joe over there by the dumpster? Sure. Have him drive the bus.
And some crazed mom is going all fast and furious on the tail end of your bus to get a picture of her kid getting off of it. Do you want someone skilled in that seat?
Or do you want
someone that's like, I am so quitting at the end of this?
I am so hungover.
That mom was the last drive.
I'm so hungover. It drives me nuts that we don't pay bus drivers adequately. It does.
That's valid.
And this is the same freaking problem. How many times have we been in a room, McKee, where we've had to sit and talk about this?
No, and I agree with you. It should be a job that pays sufficiently, and you have incredible, fantastic individuals to keep your kids safe.
Yeah.
I think more jobs nowadays should be like that. They used to be. Just everything now is, we cut, we trim to the point where everything's part-time and you're just, scraping the bottom.
Because I'm going to guarantee you, and I don't want to harp about this, but if you pay people adequately for this job, they'll learn the routes ahead of time. You won't have those kind of pickup issues. They'll know where your kids are going. They'll know where your kids are at all times. You'll get a better quality. Not to knock on the people now. Probably some of them would qualify as that. You'd get a better quality of bus driver.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
Shame.
I'd like to be the president of the Bus Drivers Association in my next life. Stickers.
Have you guys done this story?
Oh, that's my favorite story of the day.
So the Canadian
Stickers.
Civil Liberties Association telling News Talk 1010 today. It has now officially filed its legal challenge of the mandatory anti-carbon tax stickers on gas pumps.
Our claim is that the law violates the charter. It's a violation of freedom of expression because it's basically forcing private retailers to convey the government's own political message.
It's a sticker, snowflake. The association says forcing retailers to post government-mandated message about a political issue, especially so close to a federal vote, it's compelled speech. That is not reasonable.
She seemed really upbeat about the whole idea.
Yeah, just a sticker.
Was there not a more laid-back person available for that?
Right. The amount of people that sent us texts at 7:10:10 today to say that they're peeling stickers off of the pumps.
Yeah.
Oh,
staggering.
The resistance.
Well, yeah.
I think
it goes to the level of frustration of about hearing about this day after day after day after day, and people are just like,
yeah.
I'm against the carbon tax, but the sticker thing is just over-the-top nonsense.
I think it
was, too. It's not necessary. It's not necessary.
Don't look at it. Like, you're going to be okay.
It's such a pointless political spat. It's a peeing contest.
Oh,
we're just
absolutely
stuck in the middle of a peeing contest. Now they're going to take it to court and have a big legal chat. Stop. Just take the stupid stickers off. We already know about it.
They should have huge fines for people who remove the stickers.
Ugh. Yes, and then we should challenge that fine.
Challenge that fine in court.
That's the joke. What's going on with YouTube?
Yeah, just mining your child's data without your permission. So its owner, Google, is going to pay the FTC in the U.S. $136 million. New York State gets $34 million to settle charges of violating children's online privacy. It's also agreed to changes to its business practices. So the FTC found it violated a law that requires parental consent before companies can collect children's personal information. Says its service is intended for ages 13 and older, yet many popular channels feature cartoons or sing-alongs made for children. So child advocacy groups, they say YouTube does not go far enough to protect your children. They're pleased with the settlement, that it may reduce the behavioral advertising that you see, but they say it falls short in holding Google responsible. Of course, Google, like most instances you see, is just pushing that responsibility off to someone else, the people who post the videos. But what gets me is, like, this is, they don't know this. I mean, we're talking about a company, reading between the lines, essentially knows it needs parental consent, was not getting it, was mining your children's data. And this is it? So you just break the rules. I mean, data privacy online is such a huge issue now, and you just learn more and more from Facebook and now YouTube. They don't care what the rules are.
Yeah, apparently parents don't even care that their kids are using devices that they're probably not supposed to have to access YouTube. Oh, wait a minute.
That's true.
That would be someone else's responsibility.
Exactly.
Mm.
You guys have pink shirts on today. It's very distracting.
Yeah, we matched it up. We were thinking alike.
Like sitting in a room with two flamingos.
Two good-looking flamingos.
Two good-looking
flamingos. Manly flamingos.
Is this a misprint? Jussie Smollett back in the news?
Yes. He says he shouldn't have to pay Chicago $130,000 for the police investigation into what he claimed was a racist and homophobic attack against him. He says he had no way of knowing how much time officers would spend on this probe. 1,800 hours of overtime. And this is his effort to have the lawsuit tossed out, of course. He was accused of staging it, and then the charges were dismissed, and now there's a special prosecutor looking into this case to see if maybe the charges should not have been dismissed.
Okay, wait a minute. I remember when this story broke, and there was that whiff of suspicion about him, and when Chicago cops first started talking, all the cops had the same refrain, which was, we knew this didn't add up pretty much right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah.
So where's the disconnect between you needed 1,800 hours of overtime?
Yeah, that's true.
That you couldn't figure it out. Or did you pad that overtime because you realize that you're going to sue this guy because he's a schmuck?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, I mean, or maybe just it's the optics of it, right? Look how many people we put on this important issue, even though we know it's fake.
That's gall, though, huh?
Yeah.
Listen, I had no idea how much you'd investigate my fakery.
Yeah, and if they didn't investigate him enough, be the first one in front of the cameras saying they're not taking this seriously.
Yeah.
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 It's not often you talk about a city that just drops all of its T's and becomes famous.
Orono? Am I saying this right? Residents live in Orono?
Orono.
Want the old Toronto sign.
They
want the old Toronto sign. The city of Toronto, of course, it's working to replace it. It's 4 years old. Was designed to only last a few weeks. So CTV's reporting the town has reached out to Mayor Tory, asking that the old Toronto sign be donated to help build tourism there. It's like the plot from the Disney movie Cars. Hundreds of thousands of people used to travel through the town each year, but a divider in the highway diverted people away.
They're driving right by. They don't even know what they're missing. Well, it didn't used to be that way.
People stopped visiting. Businesses, they were closing. They lost their grocery store, their LCBO, their CIBC bank. The town has sent a request to Tory yesterday. Said, we want the sign. We'll even take the T's if it's an all or nothing deal. Which Tory apparently is indicating it is an all or nothing deal. He doesn't feel the sign should be broken up. No clue why, but they'll take the T's. Orono.
They're having their fair this weekend.
Yep. Are they?
We get invited to judge the baking competition.
Well, there you go.
People actually threatened to throw pies at me, but yeah.
tomato. They're going to throw those too. Ryan went on a bit of a small town.
Did he?
Yeah. He might have piled on a little bit.
Might have piled on about how small town. But you put it way over the top, so I've got nothing.
I know. I feel for them, the poor community of Oreo. Orono.
Yeah. One's got the creamy middle. The other has a big problem in the middle, apparently. On a diversion.
We'll even take the T's.
Yeah. I could see how they'd want it.
I would, too.
Yeah.
It would be a bit of a tourist draw.
Sure.
I'd take the other side of that divider in the highway.
I would tell Toronto I'm taking the T's, and then I would just take an axe to the T's.
Oh, yeah, you see?
That's what I would do.
They fell off the truck when we left the parking lot. Sorry about the T's.
No, you break it, you buy it. We bought it. We're good. Thank you. Dave McKee,
thanks, guys.
It's
a lot of fun today, as it is always at 6 o'clock with Dave McKee and his views on the news.
Don't know if you've seen it yet. You've got a couple of minutes to go check it out. Check out the new trailer for the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, probably the movie most looking forward to in TIFF season. But is the Joker and characters like his a danger to society? We discuss when The Rush comes back.